Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Judges with Abimelech versus Gaal. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
I appreciate it, Bob. We have been studying the book of Judges. And we saw last time that after the death of Gideon, the fifth judge, his son Abimelech, which means my father is a king, showing perhaps the ambitions of his mother, well, he was his son, but he was his son through his slave woman, a concubine, which was basically a slave wife, a woman who was a wife, quote-unquote, but she didn't stop being a slave. She didn't get the full privileges of a wife. And that was an unfortunate practice they had back then. Well, he decided that he wanted to seize power over Israel. So he conspired with the men of his mother's city of Shechem to execute all his brothers, or they would have been his half-brothers, Gideon's 70 children, because he'd had multiple wives. And then he was going to pronounce himself not judge, but king. Now, this was a great insult against the Lord, because the Lord was the true king of Israel, and no one else could become king when he was already on the throne. Well, the men of Shechem were unfortunately all too eager to help Abimelech do this, thinking that it would benefit themselves to have the king be one of their people. So they helped him assassinate all his brothers. And of all his brothers, only Jotham, the youngest, escaped. Jotham managed to get up on a hilltop, where he was cut off from Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And from there, he laid his curse on them through telling them a satirical fable. And the point of it was that they might destroy each other. And Jotham's words turned out to be prophetic, and perhaps he even spoke by the Spirit of God, we don't know. But we'll see how what he said starts to come true in today's message. So starting in Judges chapter 9 and verse 22, it says, "After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years." Now, we talked last time about the fact that who had appointed the men of Shechem, this one city in Israel, to appoint a king over the whole nation. And we suggested that in a lot of ways, Abimelech was more of a robber chief than he was a king. But apparently, at least some of the rest of Israel, perhaps especially the areas around Shechem, they went along with it. Yet his reign as king was not recognized by God. Of course, he was a rival king to Jehovah, the one who was truly on the throne. And if we would follow it out, we'd find that the first 3 years of Tola, the sixth judge, and the next judge after Gideon, well, his first 3 years correspond with these 3 years of Abimelech's quote-unquote reign. So God clearly didn't recognize Abimelech, and I doubt much of the nation did either. But at least this area did. And it was a serious thing. It was a threat to God's reign. But, of course, God is not truly threatened. Verse 23, "God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech." So God sends a spirit of ill will. The old King James Version said an evil spirit. But evil, understand, the Hebrew word ra'ah, speaks more of calamity than it does of wickedness or sin. The Hebrew word ra'ah, or evil, if we'd use our word evil this way in English, we could say that cancer is an evil. Or a car accident is an evil. And we're not talking about sin, except figuratively that sin can cause calamity. So God sent a calamity-causing spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Now, I don't think here that a spirit means a spirit being, that there was a demon that was causing trouble between them. But rather, a spirit has to do with their thoughts, their mindsets. God set their minds and their thoughts against each other. So in other words, he caused trouble between these co-conspirators. Verse 24, "That the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be settled, and their blood be laid on Abimelech their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who aided him in the killing of his brothers." So this is why God did this. and it was because of the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal. He will bring their blood guiltiness on the head of Abimelech, and also on the head of the heads of the men of Shechem, who, in Hebrew, it literally says that they strengthened his hands in doing this. In other words, they offered him their help, they aided and abetted him in his crime of murdering his 70 half-brothers. Well, God remembers this, and he's going to bring this crime to bear against Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Verse 25, and the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who passed by them along that way, and it was told Abimelech. So it seems that the men of Shechem set an ambush, and they robbed all that they caught in it. Now, I don't know, was this ambush they were hoping to catch Abimelech himself? I'm not sure. They seem to be ready just to rob anybody they catch. And remember, their whole idea in conspiring with Abimelech and helping him to take the throne was that he was going to enrich them. He was going to use his position as king to give them kickbacks and bring them wealth. But maybe they felt that their conspiracy with Abimelech, that they just weren't getting enriched fast enough. And so they decided to set up this ambush and rob anyone who happened to stumble into it and enrich themselves this way. Now Abimelech learns of this disorder, and he must not have liked this because certainly it reflected badly on him as quote-unquote king. Verse 20, now Gaal the son of Ebed came with his brothers and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So now we are introduced to a man called Gaal the son of Ebed. Now anybody who has studied the book of Ruth and studied the concept of the kinsman redeemer knows that the Hebrew word for kinsman redeemer is Gaal, spelled G-A-A-L. And this man's name is Gaal, spelled G-A-A-L. However, if I were spelling this in English, I would spell it G-A-apostrophe-A-L. And the reason would be that there are a couple of letters in Hebrew that simply have no equivalent in our English alphabet. Or actually, we use the Roman alphabet. Don't really have an English alphabet. But in our alphabet, there's no equivalent to these Hebrew letters. So the G-A-apostrophe-A-L, that apostrophe, stands for a letter that we don't have, letter that you can't really transliterate over. Now, Gaal, when it means a kinsman redeemer, that apostrophe stands for one letter, and Gaal here in this man's name, it stands for a different letter. And this word actually means loathing, not kinsman redeemer. So this is not the same word as the kinsman redeemer. This is a man who's named Loathing, and his father, who Ebed means slave. Loathing, the son of slave. Well, that's not a very great name. Now, it seems that this man comes to Shechem, and he comes with his own brothers. And the men of Shechem, having become disenchanted with Abimelech, decide to put their trust and their confidence in this Gaal, the son of Ebed. Now, he seems to be another, we might call him a robber chief, perhaps a rival robber chieftain to Abimelech. And he thinks, well, Abimelech did this and enriched himself, maybe he can too, maybe he can take Abimelech's place. Well, that's the problem when you're a usurper, is you set the example, and a lot of people think maybe they could do the same thing you did. And that's what this Gaal, it seems, what he wants to do. Verse 27, so they went out into the fields and gathered grapes from their vineyards and trod them and made merry. And they went into the house of their god and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. So it seems that the time of grape harvest has come. And so they go out and they gather in the grapes and they tread out the grapes to squeeze out the juice and they make wine for themselves. And then they throw a big drinking party in the house of their god. And in this party, because, of course, they're disenchanted with Abimelech, they curse Abimelech. Now notice that they're doing it in the house of their god, whom we saw last time was Baal Berith, or the Lord or Master of the Covenant. And they have thrown off Jehovah as their God, and they're worshiping this Baal Berith instead. And they have Baal Berith's house, his temple, right there in Shechem. So this is a multifaceted conspiracy against Jehovah. It's not just Abimelech becoming king, But they're throwing off Jehovah as their god and making this Baal-Berith their god instead. Well, in the house of Baal-Berith, they're having their party, eating and drinking and cursing Abimelech. And it seems Gaal gets into it, verse 28. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him?" So Gaal speaks boldly in Abimelech's absence. And it seems that he's one of these loudmouth guys who speaks very loud, very boldly against someone when the person isn't there. And that's what he does. He belittles Abimelech. He says, "Who is this guy? Who is he anyway? Well, he's just this guy that, of course, they made a conspiracy with. He was nothing without their help. And who is Shechem?" They say, he's more or less saying, "Are you so small that you need to serve this small little man?" He says, "He's just the son of Jerubbaal." Now, he was the one who contended with Baal, is what that means. Of course, we know he tore down the altar of Baal in a city. Well, here they are in the temple of the god Baal-Berith. And so he says, "He's the son of this guy who attacked Baal. And here we all worship Baal, so why should we serve this guy who's the son of Jerubbaal?" And then he says, "And is not Zebul his officer?" Now, Zebul means exalted, and it seems he was a chief man in Shechem. But this Gaal makes fun of him. He says, "He's just the officer of Abimelech." You know, he says we shouldn't rise up against Abimelech. What does he know? He's just Abimelech's yes man. So then he says, "We should serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem." Now, Hamor is a familiar character from the book of Genesis. He was a Hivite, one of the Canaanite tribes whom the Israelites were supposed to destroy and cast out of the land. But they failed to do it, as we saw at the beginning of the book. Now, Hamor's son had actually dishonored Dinah, Jacob's daughter, by sleeping with her when they were not married. Well, he had fallen in love with her and wanted to marry her, but Jacob's sons felt that this had been an insult, treating their sister like a prostitute. So they had fooled the men of Shechem into getting circumcised. They said, "We'll form a league with you if you'll get circumcised." And then while all the men were basically incapacitated by the circumcision, two of his sons went into the town and wiped out the whole city, wiped out all the men of the city. But it seems that there were still some men who at least claimed to be descended from Hamor, the father of Shechem. Maybe some of them had escaped from the slaughter. So Gaal says, "We should serve them rather than Abimelech." Well, who are these men of Hamor but Canaanites? Well, he'd rather serve Canaanites than Israelites, it seems. So we see that Gaal is certainly no hero. He rises up against Abimelech, but he is, if anything, more wicked than Abimelech was. But he continues his boast, verse 29, "If only this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech." So he said to Abimelech, "Increase your army and come out." So he suggests that if only these people were under his control, and that's what he wants to be king instead of Abimelech. He said, "If the people were under my control, I would remove Abimelech. I'd kick him out." And then he taunts Abimelech to bring out his army and face him. He says, "Increase your army. You don't have enough to stop me. Increase your army and come and face me." Well, he was getting a little big for his britches here. And again, it was very easy for him to boast in Abimelech's absence. Now remember, he hadn't just mocked Abimelech, but he had also mocked Zebul, the ruler of the city, and he didn't like it much, verse 30. "When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was aroused." Well, needless to say, he had called him Abimelech's officer, basically his yes man. And so he is naturally angry. His anger becomes hot because of his words. Verse 31, "And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, 'Take note, Gaal the son of Ebed and his brothers have come to Shechem, and here they are fortifying the city against you.'" So he secretly sends word. Hebrew means secretly or deceptively even, so that Gaal and his men don't know about it. So he sends word to Abimelech, and he tells Abimelech about what Gaal is doing, that he and his brothers have come and they're planning to fortify the city in order not to allow Abimelech access. Verse 32, now therefore get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. So he has advice for Abimelech. He advises him to gather his army and to come and to set an ambush at night in Shechem's fields, when of course the people of the city will be sleeping and won't know he's arrived. Verse 33, and it shall be as soon as the sun is up in the morning that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may then do to them as you find opportunity. So he says, as soon as the sun rises, which would make it possible to fight because you can't really see what you're doing at night to fight back then. He says, as soon as the sun rises, you can rise up, go into action, and invade the city. And then when Gaal and his men come out, well, he's certain Abimelech can defeat him. He says, do with him what you like. Because he knows probably the size and the power of Abimelech's force, and he knows that Gaal is just talking. He doesn't have what he needs, at least not yet, to defeat Abimelech. Verse 34. So Abimelech and all the people who were with him rose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. So Abimelech takes this advice. And he and the people who are with him, they go into action. And they do lay an ambush for Shechem at night. Now Abimelech divides his men into four companies. Or in Hebrew, this literally is four heads. So four sources of invasion is what this means. A head is a source. So these four heads, these four groups, he's going to use to attack Shechem. Verse 35, when Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entrance to the city gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from lying in wait. So the next morning, it seems Gaal wakes up, and maybe he's a bit blurry. Maybe he's a bit hungover from their party the night before. Well, he goes out, and he stands in the entrance to the city gate. And he sees when Abimelech and the people who are with him rise up from their ambush. Verse 36, and when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you see the shadows of the mountains as if they were men. So Gaal's looking out, and he sees the activity. And so he tells Zebul, of all people, Zebul's there apparently, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul denies it, probably wants to slow him down and help Abimelech. So he says, well, you're just seeing the shadows of the mountains, and you're imagining their people. You're a little hungover there, you're seeing things, maybe, is his implication. You're seeing these shadows as if they were mortal men. Verse 37, so Gaal spoke again and said, see, the people are coming down from the center of the land, and another company is coming from the diviner's terebinth tree. Well, Gaal looks further, and he insists that he sees people coming through the middle of the land. And other people coming from the plain or the tree of Meonanim, which basically means diviners or sorcerers. Basically coming from the sorcerer's tree. That's an interesting name for it. Verse 38, then Zebul said to him, where indeed is your mouth now with which you said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Are not these the people whom you despised? Go out if you will and fight with them now. So Zebul realizes that Gaal isn't going to be fooled. So now Zebul turns around, and he had mocked Zebul the night before. Now Zebul mocks him. He says, where is your mouth now, your big mouth that you talked last night about how you defeat Abimelech? You said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Well, he says, here he is. Here's Abimelech and the people whom you despised, his followers. So he says, you go out, if you will, and fight with him now. Go fight. See what happens. He's quite sure Gaal will lose. Verse 39, so Gaal went out, leading the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. So Gaal does it, and notice the men of Shechem joined with him. Remember, they had put their confidence in him. And it was apparently only Zebul, the leader of the city, who got angry with him because he mocked him. So he leads out the men of Shechem to fight with Abimelech. Verse 40, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled from him, and many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. So Abimelech wins, as Zebul seemed to know he would. Abimelech has the more powerful force, the more experienced force. And so he chases Gaal, and Gaal flees from him. And many of Gaal's men fall down, wounded, and this seems to indicate maybe mortal wounds. And they come to the very entrance of the gate. It seems they escape into the city. Verse 41, then Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers, so that they would not dwell in Shechem. So Abimelech leaves at Arumah, which means I shall be exalted, instead of living in Shechem, because, of course, the men of Shechem were no longer happy with him. He didn't feel safe there. But meanwhile, Zebul kicks Gaal and his brothers out of Shechem. And Zebul probably thinks, aha, I got what I wanted. I got rid of this Gaal. And he seems to think it's over. Well, not according to Abimelech. Abimelech doesn't think it's over because he remembers that this Gaal wasn't the one who started the problem. I mean, he had already heard that the men of Shechem were getting disenchanted with his rule before Gaal ever showed up. Verse 42, and it came about on the next day that the people went out into the field and they told Abimelech. So apparently, like I said, Zebul and the men of Shechem think it's over. And the men of the city say, well, it's all over, so they went out into the fields to work. Now, realize back then that people lived in cities for protection. With their walls, you could have protection. But you couldn't build your walls big enough to surround all your farmland. So they would live in the city at night, and then they'd go out into their farmland to work during the day. That's how everyone did it back then. Well, these men figure that Abimelech's happy he's gotten rid of Gaal, and so they go out into the field to work, and Abimelech hears it. But Abimelech is not happy. In Abimelech's mind, this is not over, verse 43. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, and lay in wait in the field. And he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose against them and attacked them. So Abimelech gathers his men again, and he divides them into three companies, or three heads. Well, I wonder, why only three this time? Remember, he divided them into four last time. Well, I wonder, had he lost that many fighting Gaal? Maybe. He only has enough for three companies now. But he again sets an ambush in the field. Maybe this is the next day, I would guess. And he looks, and sure enough, here are the people of Shechem come happily out to work, as he had heard. Well, he springs the trap against them, attacks them. In verse 44, then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the fields and killed them. So Abimelech and his company rushes to the gate of the city so that these people have no way to escape like they did the last time. And then the other two companies just pass through the field and slaughter all the people out working in the fields one by one. Verse 45, so Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. So the battle lasts all day, because, of course, all the people weren't out in the fields. So he slaughters all the people who were in the fields, but then he fights with the city all day, but he succeeds. He captures the city, and he kills the people who are in it. He executes them all. And I wonder, is this what Zebul wanted? I doubt it. Like I said, I think Zebul thought he could get Abimelech to get rid of Gaal, and then he and the rest of Shechem would be okay. And I wonder, did Abimelech kill Zebul too? We don't see any exceptions. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he killed all the people of the city, and then he demolished the city. Literally in Hebrew, it means that he pulled it to the ground. He pulls down every house and destroys the city. And that isn't enough. He also sows its farmland with salt. Of course, this would wreck the land until enough time could pass that the salt would wash out. And so at least for a while, perhaps for a long while, the city couldn't be rebuilt because all the farmland was spoiled by salt. So Abimelech was so angry with the city, he didn't want to just destroy it. He wanted to see to it that it couldn't be rebuilt. So this part of Jotham's curse came true. Shechem is destroyed. But of course, the second part of his curse was that Abimelech would be destroyed. And we'll see how that came about in our next message. But we see how Abimelech was this wicked man who tried to set up a kingship in Israel, rejecting Jehovah as the true king. And this was truly a rebellion against the true king of Israel, Yahweh. Abimelech's co-conspirators turned against him, and he ended up fighting the people who had put him on the throne. He destroyed them, his original supporters. But we'll see his own destruction came not far behind. And we'll see how that came about in our next study.
All of the treachery, deceit, and murder that the men of Shechem committed to put Abimelech into power soon proved to be a futile endeavor. After they turned against him, this wicked man Abimelech quickly responds by murdering these co-conspirators and destroying their city. The only true king in Israel is Jehovah. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Abimelech versus Gaal. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the Book of Judges with Tola and Jair. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that as you listen to this program, you are becoming more and more motivated to study God's Word. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.